Brothers and sisters, welcome. This is our inaugural stream for our worship service on Sunday mornings. You are in the right place here at the Davis Park Church of Christ channel. We're live. And so thank you for joining us. We're going to listen to a few more worship songs. Feel free to sing along right where you are at home. And we'll come back at 10:45. With our shepherd, welcome. So thanks for tuning in, and let's worship our Lord.
We do want to welcome you to the Davis Park Church of Christ inaugural run on live streaming. I'm looking down at a red light instead of looking here at the camera. What a great day it is to be here, though. Hey, if you'll do me a favor right now, hit the like button. It's to your right there. Also, make sure you subscribe to this channel. We have about two more songs before the elder moment where John Hammond is going to welcome you to the worship service. One more song.
Brothers and sisters, thanks again for joining us as we continue our run up to when we start our worship, already worshiping as it is. We will do another song here in just a moment. Again, many people are coming in right now, joining the live stream. Thank you for tuning in. And hit the like button, subscribe to the channel as well. That'll help us with the live streaming, and it'll let you know whenever we go live and we post videos and things like that. So we're going to listen to one more song, and then Brother John Hammond is going to come up with the shepherd welcome. Thanks again for tuning in.
Good morning. We welcome you to our worship this morning here at Davis Park Church of Christ. And my name is John Hammond. I'm one of the shepherds here. And as you all know, we have had a very, very interesting week. And in that week, we have been very, very busy getting this feed ready, but also we've been busy doing a lot of other things. This past Thursday, we had shower shuttle here at the building where we reach out to our homeless community. We had over 35 showers and 50 meals, and we had a lot of people here working very, very hard. And unfortunately, I believe this next Sunday or this next Thursday and the following few weeks, we're going to have to discontinue that because of the virus situation that we've got on here and basically wanting everybody to stay at home. But as you listen this morning and watch us, It's a tough thing for family not to be here, but we need to remember that we are more than just a family here at Davis Park. We're the family throughout the world. We will be reading starting from Genesis chapter 37. We'll be starting in verse 18. Joseph, his life has been going really, really well, but it's about to take a drastic change. Just similarly to the way things have changed around here the last two or three weeks. And Joseph in verse 17 was looking for his brothers, and he was told where he could find them. And as he got close to his brothers, his life started to change drastically. Genesis 37 verses 18 through 23. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from the hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So Joseph came to his brothers. They stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Thank you very much.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back here as we are in our worship service now at the Davis Park Church of Christ. This is our time when we call family time. And if you will, in the weeks to come, if you have prayer requests, please message them to me. Message them to the Davis Park Church of Christ office. Send them to Nick. Just send them to one of leadership. And at this particular point, we will pray for the various needs of those in the family that have that. In fact, if you're not part of this particular church or this family and you want something prayed about, just contact us at DavisParkChurchModesto.com and we will pray for any need that you have. Today, I have a couple of needs I want to share with you. First of all, Pam Vanderford's sister, Edith, is in the hospital right now. She's had surgery. She's recovering from that. And they are in need of prayers right now, and we want to pray for her this morning. Also, we continue to pray for Sheila Walls as she is battling cancer right now. She's at home. She's about to start chemotherapy, and we want to keep her in our prayers also. What we also want to pray about is our ability to continue to put together things like this for you. It is, I'm going to tell you right now, we have a ragtag crew of people that are trying to put together a quality service for you. We're doing our best. If it at sometimes slides a little on the cheese factor, hey, we're doing our best. We're trying to bring God's word to you. And so pray that we can continue to reach out to people during this time. So if you will, pray with me. Lord God, you are an awesome God. And Lord, we trust you. We give it all to you right now, Lord, because we know that you have some reason for bringing us to where we are today. And Lord, as we preach to the camera, as we do today, Lord, I ask you to open up the homes and open up the hearts of many as we bring your message to them. Lord, this morning, we pray for Edith. Edith has been was stricken with a mass that was surgically removed. And Lord, now she's recovering. And Lord, we lift her up to you. Lord, our sister Sheila, who has become an important part of some of the services we provide with the shower shuttle. Lord, she runs the kitchen. And Lord, she does a great job, and she wants to be back in that kitchen soon. And so, Lord, we ask you to heal her of this cancer that she is fighting right now. Lord, for all of us and all of those that are out there that are having to stay at home right now, Lord, I lift them up to you. I ask you to protect those that are staying at home. I ask you to protect those that are having issues with the coronavirus. I ask you to heal as only you can. Lord God, as we continue in this service, I ask you to be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Special thanks to the a cappella company for all the music that they have provided this morning. We went online and purchased it just last night. We are certainly glad that they would be able to provide such wonderful, uplifting music for us this morning. As we start our sermon this morning, I want to thank John for reading from Genesis chapter 37. And what a great story we have here, because as we look at this story, what we see happening is Joseph has been thrown into the pit. He's been thrown into a pit, and he's down in there, and he is by himself. And as I look at this, my thought is that's where we are right now. What the government is telling us, what the doctors are telling us, what everyone is saying is you need to go down into the pit and be alone for a little while. You need to stay away from everyone. You need to actually not have contact. You don't need to be touching anyone. And so what I see is that we if we're not careful when we're thrown into the pit, we can make this pit a pit of despair. You know, a pit where we get into this pit and we have a pity party. And I tell you what, that's not what we need to do. We can also, if we are not careful, jump into the pit, and it will be a pit of loneliness. And again, that's not what we need to do. What we need to do is be contacting each other and talking to each other and FaceTiming each other and using all the tools that God has given us to reach out to one another. I'll tell you what the pit is also, is it's a pit of uncertainty. Each day, as you look at the numbers of deaths, as you look at the number of cases, as you look at everything that is happening, you just feel more and more uncertain. And I believe that if we're not careful, that leads to a pit of disappointment. A pit of disappointment because certainly with all the technology that we have, with all the medical breakthroughs that have happened in the past 2,000 years, we would be able to face something as small as a virus and be able to overtake it. But that just doesn't seem to be the case. As I look at Joseph here in the pit, what I see is something similar to all of us. Right now, he's in what I would call a pit of disappointment. This pit of disappointment, it has led him, if you'll just remember, it wasn't all that long ago in the story when his dad put together the beautiful coat. And his dad wrapped him in this beautiful coat as if he is the special son of all the sons that he has. This son has gotten to a point where he's having dreams of glory, how he is going to rule over all of his brothers. His hopes are high. His hopes are that he is going to be great. And the next thing is, he's looking up from the bottom of a pit. He's down in the dirt. He's down low. His hopes have been trashed. He is there. But then what we know is he doesn't stay there. As he's in the pit, some people come by on camels and they take him out of the pit. And they take him off and they sell him to a Pharaoh. And in the Pharaoh's house, he excels. The guy in the pit raises up and becomes the number two guy for the Pharaoh. And his hopes and his dreams are alive again. And if you can only imagine, he is this great leader again. And he's young and he's vibrant and everything is going his way. Until Potiphar's wife seduces him or tries to seduce him. And he has integrity. He has values that he's learned from his father. And as those values have been tested, he acts right. But Potiphar's wife plays him here. Again, he ends up in jail. He's in jail. And as he's in jail again, being in jail is like being in the pit. Your hopes are dashed. Your dreams are taken away from you. You are subdued. You are actually held in a way that you are treated as if you have no value. But again, Joseph is a man of God. Joseph is not sure where God has taken him while he is in this second pit. But as he's there, two men come into his life. Two men come into his life. One is a cupbearer. One of them is a baker. And these people are important people in the kingdom that have fallen in disfavor with Pharaoh. And as he is there, they come to him and say, look, we've had some dreams. We've had some dreams and we don't understand the dreams. And he actually tells them, guess what? I can help you. God can help me discern these dreams, and we will let you know what's going on. Well, as you know the story, one is told, hey, you're going to be out in no time, and one is told, hey, you're going to die. And guess what? That's the way it goes. And the one that is told the positive, that he is going to go and be with Pharaoh, one of the things that Joseph says to him is simply, remember me. Remember me when you're on the outside, and put in a good word for me so that God will lift me up and God will take me out of this mess, and that God will actually be there and lead me to greater things. Well, a week went by. No word. Maybe a month went by and there's still no word. And as time moved on, Joseph's high hopes were dimmed and finally extinguished as he realized that the cupbearer has forgotten me. And again, he went from high hopes to no hope. Except, remember, even when he has no hope, his hope is in God. As we look at this story, what I believe it's going to do, it's going to teach us that God uses disappointments to bring us to a place where our only hope is in him. Now, did you catch that? Sometimes God has to pull everything away from us so that all the distractions are taken away from us so that we can see him as the only true hope. So let's talk about that for a little bit. First of all, I believe disappointments begin when high hopes for answers to our problems are not met as we have expected them to be. You see, we come to a lot of times to Christ with high hopes for answers to life's problems. In fact, when we're cruising along at a good time in our life, we have peace, joy, we have restored relationships, we have forgiveness for all our sins, we have emotional healing, we have meaning and purpose in life, and much, much more. We hear stories about other Christians about how God has miraculously answered prayers. So we too begin to pray that God would deal with the major problems in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. And it's not that our God doesn't deliver, but rather that we assume that these things will come quickly, miraculously, and painlessly. You see, there's no doubt in my mind that Joseph prayed daily that God would get him out of the prison. He had high hopes that God would answer that prayer. After all, it was based on the dreams he had when he was a teenager, which he knew were from God. You see, Joseph was relying on God. But just like us, he expects the immediate answer, the quick answer, the answer that happens right away. Another thing we can learn from this is that disappointments can move us either to despair or to hope. And as we look at this, we see that the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That's Genesis 40, verse 23. Notice here, as this time happens, the space of time between this last wording and the next thing that happens is some 2 years. Can you imagine right now as we pray for the coronavirus to end, and as we see people being laid off, and as we see people getting sick and dying, what if God did not answer us for 2 years? How would we feel? And so in the text here, we have this time in Joseph's life where he's in his 20s. He's in the prime of his life. And he has 2 years that God spends maturing him while he's in prison. I'm going to bet that during this time, it was a time of transitions between his high hopes for release and his readjusted hope in God a time when maybe he had no hope. You see, there is almost always a time of despair during a trial. Sometimes you just think, God, I can't handle any more weight. It's much like going and looking at the sayings of the cross where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We have to always remember God remembers us. God is there for us. Even in the toughest of times, God is moving along life's pathways with us. The third thing that we are seeing here is that hoping in God alone is the key to overcoming disappointment and despair. Did you catch that? Hoping in God. In other words, I have to trust in something today, and I can trust in my own abilities, or I can trust in God. And I can assure you that if I trust in me, somewhere along the way, I'm going to disappoint me. And so here, the key is hoping in God alone. First of all, as we look at this, the idea is if you hope, your hope in God, if your hope is in God, you will not focus on serving him, or you will you will not be focused on serving him by serving others. And I tell you what, right now, I just got tongue-tied because I'm excited about the word of God here. So if your hope is in God, you will focus on him by serving others. There, I finally said it. So Joseph's situation is such that even though he's in prison, he's still serving God. Wherever you are, serve him. Also, if your hope is in God, today, have a positive attitude. Be willing to say, you know what? This is the lot that I have before me, so be it. I'll be the best at whatever God has allowed me to be today. What we have to remember is we can't control many of the things that happen to us, but we can control our attitude. We can control our attitude in the response as things happen to us. Also, if your hope is in God, include him in dealing with your problems. If you're going to have something going on and your hope truly is in God, then what you must do is turn it over to him. You have to rely on him to make that happen. So as we have talked about this a little bit, I want to give you five practical things to take home with you today. Oh, wait, you're already at home. Don't have to take them home. You can plug them in at your house right now. First of all, God is always sovereign, even when it seems he has forgotten you. Hey, if you're out there and alone and you're lonely and you're tired and you can't figure out how to get rest, remember God is with you. He has not forgotten you. He will walk with you every step of the way. Also, remember this, God is never unfaithful or cruel. Even when the circumstances seem otherwise, the fact of the matter is, God is always going to be true to who God really is. God is merciful, God is just, God is loving. In Psalm 42 and 43, there are several things that the psalmist says. One of the things he says is, where is your God? That is the critic speaking. And then also he answers with this great refrain, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? And then the psalmist says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Even when my enemy taunts us by saying, look at your circumstances, you will see that your God is not unfaithful, but he is faithful. He is not cruel. The third thing today that I want you to keep at home with you is that God's promises are true in his timing, not ours. If Joseph had been released at the time when the cupbearer had been there, it wouldn't have been the right time. And that's what we have to remember here as far as the coronavirus, as it is playing out. I'm going to tell you right now, church as we knew it last week changed. Church as we know it this week is different because it's a virtual format. This week, we don't have all of our friends that we can reach out and touch because right now we have to keep social distance. The timing isn't right for us to be with one another, but God is getting the time right for us to be together and I'm going to say this, and party together again here in the future. God wants his family together, cheering together. Number four is we are not responsible for others' behavior, but we are responsible for our own behavior and attitude. Did you catch that? If you got a bad attitude today, it's nobody else's fault but your own. And so what God is wanting us to do is have a good attitude. Even if the cupbearer does not remember you, if people aren't remembering you, hey, put on a smile because God is there with you and God is leading you somewhere better. And the last thing, remember this, God's grace is always sufficient if you will receive it. If we receive God's grace, it is the thing that we need the most. Paul was wondering one time why God had not actually acted in his life. And he kept saying, God, why is this thorn in my flesh? Why is this harming me, Lord? And what God said to him was simply this, my grace is sufficient for you. And so here we sit. We sit in the realm of everything, and we're wondering, God, why are you doing this? I look up to God and I say, God, why are you doing this? And what he says to me, he says to Buddy Gray, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And I do something else and I drive down the road and then I come to the stop sign and I look around and there are cars everywhere impeding my progress. And I look around and what do I hear God saying again? My grace is sufficient for you. Charles Spurgeon was riding home after a heavy day's work, feeling weary and depressed, when suddenly the verse flashed into his mind, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I should think it is, Lord, and he burst out laughing. It seemed to make unbelief. It seemed to make the hard times he had had that day to be so absurd. And he said this, this is something from this great 19th century preacher. He said, it was as if some little fish being very thirsty was troubled about drinking the river dry. And the river said, drink away, little fish. My stream is sufficient for you. Or it seemed like a little mouse in the granaries of Egypt after 7 years of plenty, fearing it might die of famine. And Joseph might say, cheer up, little mouse. My granaries are sufficient for you. Or if a man up on a mountain saying to himself, I fear I shall exhaust all the oxygen in the atmosphere. But the earth might say to him, breathe away, O man, and fill your lungs. My atmosphere is sufficient for you. You see, what I want to tell you today is in all of the world, there is so much grace that God has for you. You can't exhaust the grace of God to meet you in your need today or any trial that you ever have come against you. Today, some of us are in the midst of the largest struggle that we've ever seen. But you know, even though we have the coronavirus on the high, there are other things that are going wrong. There are marriages that are going wrong. There are children that are rebelling in their household. There are some people that have lost their jobs in the middle of this. There are some people with serious health problems. Sometimes it may be that your friend has hurt you in some way. Today, You may have had high hopes, but now today, maybe you feel like you have no hope. But what I want to tell you, and I want to proclaim to you from God is, you have hope. God is available. God is there. You can have God because there is a God. He is alive, and in Him we live. And as the song says, we survive. I ask you today, as I close out, hope in God today. Hope in God, and you shall again praise Him. May God's countenance be upon you, and you follow after Him.
And so the word of the Lord leads us to the table of the Lord. We are presently under the CDC recommendations, the guidelines established here in the state of California, a stay-at-home order. And so our homes have become improvised sanctuaries, as it were. And it's at this time, as we gather around the table, that we invite the Lord to come and to be host at His table. In the theater of your mind, I want to take you back to the night that Jesus was betrayed. The night before He goes to the cross, He is gathered with His disciples, reclining at table. And at the meal, He takes the bread. He breaks it, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to His disciples. He says, "Take, eat, all of you. This is My body." In similar fashion, He takes the cup and He blesses it. And it's distributed among the disciples. And He says, "Drink of it, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And so we, in similar manner, join that table. We sit at the table with the disciples. We sit at the table with our fellow brothers and sisters, though we may be miles apart, separated in our homes, yet in spirit, we are joined together with them. The Lord is host of that table. He is host right there with you, at table with you. And so at this time, we will, as one body, partake of the Lord's table. Let us pray together. Lord God, we give You thanks. We thank You for this bread, which symbolizes the body of our Lord, which was given on the cross for us. We thank You for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which symbolizes the blood of our Lord that was shed on the cross for our sins. And we give You thanks that You have forgiven us of our sins so that we might have relationship with You. Lord God, be with us and bless us as we share in the table. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you have come during the week and you have picked up these little miracle meal all-in-one cups. And I guess this is the tutorial part of this. There's actually two covers. There is, first of all, the clear top, and that under it has the bread. And then there's also the silver lid that was under the bread. And you pull that back, and that is where you will find the fruit of the vine. Let us pause for a moment. And in our hearts and our minds, meditate on our Lord, his suffering on the cross, but also his resurrection. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, you forgive us of our iniquity. Lord, you satisfy us with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. And we bless your holy name. Lord, as we sit with you, it is so good to know that even though we are separated by distance, that not only are you right there with us, but in spirit, we are united with our brothers and our sisters. We confess that it is but a dim reflection in a mirror. We look forward to and we long for the day when we are once again united as one body, not only in spirit, but in person with one another. We look forward to and anticipate the day when we will see our brothers and sisters face to face in the assembly. But until that day, Lord, we pray that you would be with us, that we would take the message that we heard this morning to heart, and that we would use the various platforms and the various digital and virtual means that are available to us to stay in contact with our brothers and our sisters whom we love, that we would stay in contact with our family, even your family, Lord. We give you praise for these digital platforms like YouTube, where we can gather together virtually and we can share with one another in your word and in your table. Lord God, for your church, I want to pray and ask a special blessing upon each one that has joined us this morning. For all the viewers that were with us and that took advantage of this, Lord God, bless them daily and walk with them daily and be involved in their lives. Lord God, it's so good to know that you hear us, and that we can be joined together, heart, mind, and soul with you. And so, Father, we commit our service to you, we commit our lives to you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for joining us this morning on this inaugural streaming of our worship service. And again, I want to invite you, hit the like button, subscribe to the Davis Park Church of Christ YouTube channel, and you'll get notifications when we go live and when we upload videos. Be right back here next week as we will once again be live streaming our service starting at 10:30.